The space station is like the Titanic, and I'm excited to see it going down. Hi, and welcome to Actual Play, the podcast edition. This is Stars Without Number, episode 7, part 1, the first half of the final episode. We've got a space station that's been hit by an asteroid that is plummeting, that's off out of orbit and possibly plummeting into Anastol. We've got a homicidal Prometheus threatening to send another asteroid into it. We've got bounty hunters after Hope, and Dartha has a bunch of friends that are all messed up. And that's just how we open the show. So I hope you enjoy as all of us pull some cool hacking and teleporting and empathizing and assault rifling shenanigans in this first half of our finale. Hello, welcome to Actual Play, Stars Without Number, the finale! Wow, this is exciting. I'm playing Hope. She is a precog pilot who is being chased by bounty hunters who are right on her tail right now, but has bigger concerns because the space station she was on just got hit by an asteroid. So good times there. And that's like the least of the problems actually overall. What to say, the normal channel news, please, if you support us, the funds are going to Black Lives Matter and the Trans Legal Defense Fund, split evenly, and if you want to donate directly, I'll put some links in there, and if you want to help out other non-financial ways, I'll put some links for that too. So yeah, that's all my jazz. How about you, Dominique?
Hi, I'm Dominique. I use they/them pronouns, and I am playing Atlas, a 600-year-old AI whose AI sibling is trying to manipulate him into doing some weird AI shit that he wants no part in. I'm also on a space station that just got bonked by an asteroid, and trying to figure out what my sibling wants from me. Yeah, how about you, Tomes?
Hi, Tamara, Tomes, he, him. I'll be playing Dartha. She is our blob alien friend. And I think in the last episode, it kind of ended with her doing, I kind of imagine it like kind of that Princess Leia moment in Empire Strikes Back where she's trying to like get everybody out of the place. But then, of course, she gets on the Millennium Falcon, right? And same thing, like I'm helping people get places, but I'm going to the ship because that's where we're gonna go, and we'll see what happens next. Jay.
I'm Matt Jay. I am your tour guide to the Stars Without Number. I feel like this is the Titanic, and I'm excited that it's going down. What I'm excited about is right now the space station is in orbit. It got hit by an asteroid. Does it stay there in orbit? Can we repair it? Is it going to be obliterated? Is it going to crash into the planet? I have no idea. I'm along for the ride, so this has been good stuff. So I think
cool.
A quick recap.
Yeah, that sounds good.
A recap is in order. We ended up
with
what happening last time.
So I think we left with everyone separated. Everyone's doing their own different thing. Dartha had sent Clack to retrieve a cylinder while she was kind of coordinating folks along exit routes to escape pods, things like that. Clack returned with the cylinder, and Timothy has an injury, and it looks pretty bad. So he's kind of leaning on Clack, almost 60-70% for mobility and stability as they're coming down the hall to catch up with Dartha. The bounty hunters, Rook, Knight, and Bishop have caught up with Hope in a crowded hallway. And so they've kind of ID'd Hope and are closing the net in around her. And that's where we left Hope. That section of the space station was breached, and corridors are closing off, but that seems like the hardest hit section of the station. So everyone's trying to clear out as quick as possible. Feed Vine is corrupted. The station manager is corrupted. It's bad. Atlas got a message from Prometheus. Meet me in Bay 8, get in the shuttle, or I will hurl another asteroid at the station and obliterate the whole thing.
Yeah, right? Yeah. As if we thought one asteroid wasn't bad enough.
And that's where we are. That's where everything is.
I'm headed to Bay 8, and I told my comrades not to go to Bay 8. But what are they going to do anyway?
Well,
they're coming to Bay 8.
Just saying, Bay 8 just happened to be on my way to get past these three bounty hunters, you know, so.
Yeah. Okay, Hope.
And I think I mentioned before, Bay 8, as you pan a camera, you see Squidly, right?
Yeah.
And then you see the shuttle that Prometheus sent down for Atlas. And then there's the Queen's Pawn ship, which belongs to Rook, Knight, and Bishop, right? Harker's ship is there, right? So you've got all these ships aligning.
It's all going on in Bay 8, Bay 8, Atlas. You can't have all the glory for yourself. All the cool kids are in Bay 8, we know.
That's where it's at.
All right.
Who wants to go first? I'm easy.
I've got an action beat that I'm ready to jump in with. If folks want to open up actiony, if folks have other talky things or actiony things or whatever.
Action.
All right. So I think, you know, Jay, as you kind of last time you described it, Knight, maybe all of them saw me, but Knight and Hope sort of made eye contact. And she was reaching back to grab those cuffs, which I had used my precog oracle ability to find out, like, what happens if I go and I meet with them. And there's some options that involve fighting. There's some options that involve shooting. There's some options that involve talking. But one of the possibilities was that she slaps those bracelets on me and I lose or I'm hampered my psychic abilities. So so I think my intent is I see her. And as she's reaching for it, I want to teleport behind her, grab the cuffs from back behind her, and as she goes to reach for them, say, "You looking for these?" And
yes.
Hold them up in front of her.
Nice. Do you have to spend effort for that teleport?
I don't, because as long as it's within 20 meters, and I think she's just down the hall. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I get to do it as a move action as well, because I have proficient at portation. I can do it without not being nauseated, and I can do
nice.
This reaction. So
nice. I think she's ready for you, so I think this is a test, right?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Let me bring up my.
It could be a
skill
test. That's sort of like unarmed combat.
Yep. I will take Punch Works.
Cool.
Sneak works too.
Right.
Either of those two I will take, and your target is 8.
Eight.
She's ready for you, but you're teleporting, and and you bought that up, so yeah, you're not, yeah, so it's an 8.
All right, let's see. I can do this thing. Turn on the roll 20 bump. Did that work? Yeah, there it goes. Okay, cool. Trying to get all fancy with my stuff. Punch. Bump. Oh, yes.
Nice.
Yes.
What does that look like?
I mean, I think she goes, I think what we see is like she's, I think the camera sees her looking at me looking at her, sort of a, like it's like a scary look, and then she reaches back, and it's kind of that like Thanos thing of like, ha, I got it, and she reaches it like nothing's there, and then
that's right,
slow take as she pans around, and I'm holding onto them, you know,
right.
and I look at her, and I kind of like corner my eye, I look at Bishop, who I also saw, and I'm like, how about we, you know, I say, you're looking for these, how about we talk instead of fight?
Nice, I like that.
Or maybe even there's an asteroid that just hit the station and it's going down. How about we talk instead of fight? Just throw that out there.
comes out from behind the corridor you were running down. Mm-hmm. And he's got kind of a big barreled weapon that is spooling up. You hear it winding up, but he doesn't have it aimed. He doesn't have it up or anything. He's kind of making it a nice three-on-one kind of conversation.
Yeah.
Right. But you're looking at Knight, and you can see Bishop out of the corner of your eye. Knight seems like she's the leader, and she says, "I'm listening. I'm not worried about the station. We'll have you offed and restrained and on our way to the client before the station hits the ground. I'm not worried about that."
Are you worried about the homicidal, may I say genocidal AI that is ready to take us all down if we don't take care of that threat? And I don't think you're probably dealing with the same problems that I'm dealing with. I appreciate we each have our own priorities, but I think we have a common, let me double check. Dominique, did Atlas tell us that Prometheus was going to send another asteroid if you didn't do this? Do I know?
I don't think I told you that. I think all I said is that I confirmed that the hit was Prometheus.
Okay.
Yes.
And said, don't go to Bay 8.
Okay, cool. Right. If I remember correctly from where I have docked my ship, you're docked right next to me, like in Bay 8. Which is exactly the worst place to possibly go right now because of a genocidal AI that's there. And I say genocidal in the truest sense of the word, like kill all of us. So maybe instead of taking in this caller, we try to survive together. And I'm still sort of like holding onto the bracelets.
Right.
I guarantee I can get to my ship faster than you can get to yours. And I like look at like, I'm just like, I can teleport people.
That's right.
Look into the camera.
Nice.
Yeah. Should I make this a talk roll?
This should be a talk roll. You're going to make the roll, but Bishop says, yeah, but your ship ain't going anywhere.
All right. Let's see how this goes. Let's see if I can keep up the good luck.
Delta. Yes. This is going to be a 12. Ooh, they, okay. Yes, they're like, I don't, we're taking you in. We know you can teleport, but you're not going too far. We think we have you boxed in.
Yeah.
We're professionals. This is what we do.
Yep.
You haven't really made us an offer, and we're going to make a lot of money off of you.
Yeah. Is there an offer I can make her? Is there something that's sort of on the table that I'm not thinking about? I don't really think so, but I would love to have a little leverage in this situation, but maybe I don't. I mean, I could be grasping at straws right now.
Yeah, they are opportunists, so they will work for the highest bidder. Yeah. We know that they've turned on a client before, so that's not out of the realm of possibility for these folks.
Yeah,
but they're also high caliber, so they don't have too many people trying to enact revenge or anything like that on their tails.
What about Harker? Harker is like wanted by several people, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay, I'm like okay. So I will, in an attempt to get my difficulty down, or maybe get a bonus die, or maybe get not a bonus die, but a bonus.
Mm-hmm,
If this is reasonable, I'm like, you know, I know I'm wanted. I'm vanilla grade. I'm vanilla grade psychic bounty. But Harker's on this station, and he is Order of the Mantis, sent multiple attacks on both Erdos and Yon, wanted by every fool. You could get a bidding war level psychic bounty out there. I got him on my personal comms. You want to trade up here? And that'll be my attempt to.
Yeah. Do you mean that? You will help them capture Harker instead of you?
I would love to help them capture Harker. That would be the bee's freaking knees. I can't stand that dude. He's an ass.
Nice. I think that brings it down to an 8. They're open to that idea because Harker's worth a lot.
All right.
You're a pilot that skipped out on the contract. Harker has done dirty deeds, and there are several people. They can auction him off. So,
can I argue for this to be an intelligence-based talk instead of charisma? Because I'm basically playing the numbers and making a logical offer to them.
I can buy that. I'm good with that.
All right. Do you see how I connive? Do you see how I squeeze for every little bit there?
Because yes, if that was yeah, you needed that. Yes,
a 7.
That was masterfully done.
What the difficulty is at 12, and I have +0 on this roll. Hold on, how can I?
This was the art of metagaming right here.
How do I fictionally position this to be viable?
That is fantastic. So I think there's some crosstalk, even though you're standing there. I think Knight and Rook, they're like, Harker's, that's retirement money right there, right? We could go on vacation, right? If he's on this ship and we can, right? And they're talking back and forth amongst the three of them, even though you're standing right there.
That's fine.
And then Knight goes, okay, you help us capture Harker, right? If we bag him, right, we forget about you. If he gets away, you get a head start, right? We give you some room, some breathing room for effort.
I know they've turned on a client, but do they otherwise have a reputation for being trustworthy, for being someone, you know, you take on their word, or these seem like people that I should still keep my guard up around, or do I not know? Is it hard to tell?
I think it's hard to tell without some dice on the table. I think we know they make their money running jobs, snatching up people, not just bounties, extractions, or hey, it'd be nice to have this person to kidnap so we've got leverage on something else. And he'll go grab an innocent person up if the money's right.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad for them to be grabbing a not innocent person. I say, okay, cool. And I like, with one hand, I'm putting out my hand to shake hers. And with the other hand, I'm pocketing those cuffs. Like, I was going to give them back to her. Like, you'll need these.
Right. No.
Right. I'm like, I'm going to slap them on Harker myself. That's just how dedicated I am to this.
Nice.
Cool. So I think, yeah, we cut away from... we cut away from me at the, you know, with the shake and slip as it was.
Nice. Dartha, Atlas.
Well, I have no preference. Tones, what do you think?
Let's see what Atlas is doing. Okay. We kind of left the last episode with Dartha, and then we saw, you know, Timmy right. Clack. So I kind of want to see where. Yeah.
All right. Let's do it.
So I think in Bay 8, there's a shuttle. It's a one-person shuttle. And like I said, there's a drone that kind of gets out. And it's got a holographic projection face that's Prometheus's. And Prometheus's digitized voice. And it gets out. Meaning, if you get in, it's not getting in, right? It's a one-person shuttle. Which probably means she's got a craft nearby, right? Because you're going to that craft.
Yeah.
And then presumably to the black hole. I was going to say make a check, but you're an AI. I think looking the shuttlecraft over, there's, if you get in that, it's a trap. If you get in that shuttle, right, you might not get out of that shuttle, right? You could be locked in there. You might have to punch your way out, right? It might shut you down. You could take some damage while you're in it, right? Prometheus wants you alive, but she wants you because you're the key to downloading Draco. And so I think there's enough there that that's submitting if you get into that shuttle.
I want to speak to the drone, and I'm going to say that I'm disappointed that Prometheus didn't come in person. could have had a cute little family reunion on a station in severe orbital decay. That would have been sick. And I think I want to ask her if I commit to meeting you on the vault to do what you need me to do there. It doesn't matter how I get there.
She said, no, if you download Draco into the vault, I don't care how you get there. I just don't think you're going to do it. I think you're wasting my time right now.
I think you're wasting the time and perhaps the lives of everyone on the space station. I don't see why your concerns outweigh theirs. And I promise... I'm gonna regret it.
Promises, promises. This is the game. I'm gonna break them.
I promise that I will meet you on the vault, and we'll see what goes from there. But I don't trust you far enough to get in this little space pod you've sent me. So you can take your little space pod back.
Nice. I think the drone reaches into, actually there's like a kind of a tray compartment that pops out of the side of the shuttle. There's an assault weapon there of some sort, and the drone picks it up, right?
Oh, dang.
And then it starts looking for targets because it's walking off, right, away from the shuttle. And she says, okay, I'll wait. And it's just, it will begin to start shooting indiscriminately anything. That's what it's getting ready to go off to go do.
Shit. Okay. I'm going to get back on comms or on my tablet thingy and say, remember when I said not to go to Bay 8? Can you get to Bay 8?
Oh, yeah. We were thinking about it. Hey, you don't see Harker there, do you, by any chance?
Do I see Harker? I don't see Harker, do I?
No, Harker's not down here, but his ship is still here.
I'm going to say Harker's ship is here, but no Harker.
All right. That's one point of location. Okay, cool. We're heading to Bay 8. I'm bringing friends. And Dartha, if there's anything left of the ship's AI, you think you could talk to it and maybe use some of your fancy codes to find out where Harker might be? If Numa is around?
There is no communication from Dartha, by the way.
Oh, there is none. Okay. Well, but you had previously communicated, right? Like, we don't...
Yeah. No, okay. Absolutely.
So I asked that, and then I'm like, Dartha? Shit. And, yeah.
Can you hear that communication, Dartha?
Yes.
Nice.
I can hear it, but the place had suffered, like, after that scene, mm-hmm. there was another, like, puncture on the ship, right? And, you know, again, it resealed, but there's like all sorts of chaos, some explosions right. and things like that. And so we can, like, I have the little communicator device. It like flew out of my hand somewhere down there. It's under some other hardware, but I can hear all the messages coming out. And it's all right now about picking up Timothy and Clack and getting, if they're both fully alive, because I'm not sure, and getting to the ship.
Gotcha. I think... we see that, and we hear Hope's voice, specifically the part where she talks about getting in touch with the ship's AI. And it is the words AI that kind of resonates, right? And we have this flashback scene, which I think is, this is what Dartha does, right? So we see a younger Dartha, and we see other aliens like Dartha. We see some representatives that look like Clack, right? We see some other alien species there. But in front of them all, because it's kind of like a U-shaped assembly, in front of them all is a alien that looks like Sinclair, but it's not on a hover column or anything. And it's talking about AI and how different civilizations, when they begin to dabble in artificial or enhanced intelligences, there's a threshold that they got to cross. And usually making the first one creates a conflict or war, right? That they have to get by. Not all civilizations make it across, right? That jump, because they get caught up in that fight between the two AIs. And they go on and on in this lecture. This is what has happened to Dartha's civilization. They lost out. They created an AI. They wanted a second or more AIs, and that caused a fight. Clack's civilization, same way. It didn't make that jump between the AI wars. And it seems like all the species that are there, and it's a small group, maybe a dozen folks, right, that this Sinclair-like alien is talking to, they all didn't make that jump. And the Sinclair alien, his whole point is, this is how you win, right? This is how you do it, right? That's what he's trying to explain to everyone. We cut back to the hall that you're in, and you notice Clack is missing two of his appendages, like from the elbow down, right? But he's cylinder, and Timothy's conscious, but he's hurt pretty bad. And you guys are following the crowd down the hall.
I think we see this is where Dartha, you know, we kind of have this feeling like, oh, kind of cute or whatever. Dartha is a very strong, heavy creature, right? And, you know, there's this moment where I basically grab Sinclair and I grab Timothy and I just book it down the hall with them as if they're relatively light. Do you know what I mean? At least that's my intention. Yeah. You let me know if I'm able to pull that off.
Yeah, no, I think so. I think Clack is, he's an insectoid, so he's not going to weigh very much.
Yeah.
I think you can manage Timothy.
And Timothy's still like operational, right? Like he's
yeah,
like,
no, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, we just go to the ship. I loved that flashback. That was beautiful. And nice. Yeah, let's see what happens.
Nice. I think so. Atlas, you've got this murder bot.
Yes.
What are you doing with the murder bot? If you don't do anything, it's gonna murder. Anything moving.
I'm gonna follow it and shoot. How many
right out of the gate there, I'm sorry, go ahead.
How many people are on like Bay 8 right now?
So I think you've got a lot of mechanics, technicians in Bay 8. They're there to make the ships go and do maintenance on them when they come in and all that kind of stuff. So I think you've got at least a good 20 personnel in the area, because other ships are trying to leave and they're there to help them get off, right? The murder bot has got at least those 20 targets right here that it's going to start with.
Okay.
Right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to shoot the murder bot. Well, no. Actually, no. Mechanically, it makes more sense for me to punch the murder bot, so I'm going to punch
the murder
bot. I mean, you can just, like, leap onto the murder bot and, you know, rip it apart, right? I mean, Atlas is a specimen of perfect form, no?
No, I want to, like, get around so that I'm in front of it, I guess.
Right.
I feel like it doesn't matter which direction you punch a robot from, but I feel like I would be very, like, go for the face, because, yeah, that's like how you punch, you know, people. So feel like my objective would be to intercept it, come around in front of it, block its path of motion, and like set myself in its path, and then just start swinging at it.
Nice. That puts us in initiative mode, and you're up first then, Atlas.
Yeah. All right. Do I use my punch weapon?
Yes.
I just leveled up. This is so exciting.
Yeah, you have... all sorts of extra bonuses and cool.
Oh, it's a 12 to hit and does 7 damage.
Yes. That's good. That's a hit. That's solid.
Okay.
Would that normally be a hit? Is this AC 12 or lower?
Yes, it is.
All right.
That's so a normal hit, yeah.
So under Madland's rules, a normal hit does max damage.
Max damage, that's right.
So that's 13 damage instead of 7. Oof. Just throwing out there, because somebody has unarmed combatant with a punch level of 2, and so does a d10 plus 3 on
yeah
there,
which is nasty.
Yes.
What can I say? It's a good thing I didn't have this when I punched Dr. Long.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would kill Dr. Long.
Yeah, 13 is more than anybody at first level.
Right. The murder bot stumbles and is staggered. I would say it's wrecked in some places. It's disoriented, but it's still up. And now it's got this assault weapon that is just now spraying randomly all over the place. It's not coherent enough because you wrecked it really good, right? But it's still up, and so it's just spraying this thing all over the place randomly. Lock on the target or anything.
I want to tackle it and accept that probably means taking fire. And then I want to punch it like in the head again, because I gather that's where its processor is. Having done that, hopefully take the gun away. I probably should have led with taking the gun in hindsight.
Okay. I think you're close enough, so I don't think you have to make the attack roll. I think if you hit it again, you're going to put it out. But I think you have to make a reflex save not to get hit, since it's just spraying randomly, right?
That's just a physical save?
Yeah.
It's a normal reflex save, yeah.
Okay. Oh.
We're on fire tonight, my friends.
Wow, that's awesome. Yes. So you put this bot down, and you take away the assault weapon from it.
But now I have an assault weapon.
Yes, you do.
That I'm not going to use because I can kill him with one punch, but I have the assault weapon now, which is pretty sick.
That is pretty sick.
Not everybody knows that you can decimate them with one punch, but most people are pretty afraid of assault weapons. So
right?
use it for nothing other than intimidation.
Right.
I think
the intimidation factor of, yeah. Even though I feel like most of my objective in this campaign has been to not needlessly intimidate people.
I mean,
intimidating people is a bit necessary under the current circumstances.
I feel like there's a lot of people who having a bit of intimidation would help with in this particular asteroid exploding our space station moment.
Yeah.
I also love the idea that occasionally Atlas will be like, oh, I don't want to intimidate them with this huge gun in my hand, so I'm going to kind of hide it behind my back, but they still see this huge gun that you're hiding behind your back.
Don't mind me, just hold an assault rifle.
All right. I think most of the personnel that are in the bay, they're frantic at this point, right? The murder bot got shots off.
Did anyone get shot? I want to assess that situation because I do have a passing knowledge of human physiology and can perhaps do some triage.
Right. I think there's a lot of structural damage. I think there's a lot of folks panicked. I don't know that anyone got seriously wounded or hit.
Cool. Okay.
I think it put down a lot of fire in the area. I think it hit a lot of stuff, and I think folks scattered. But now I think they're trying to empty the bay, right? Because you've got this murder bot that was just shooting stuff. And it is about that time that Rook, Knight, and Bishop, and Hope enter Bay 8.
Yay, friends!
Yeah, I wouldn't have been doing something while we were going there. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's sure.
So I open up a channel on my comm link. I don't know if it'll go through because of the station, but I figure our local comms did. So I'm gonna try it open up. I've already done this before. I already have an open channel to M-Hair. Which is Harker's alias that he's using to snoop out people. And I go, damn you bastard, I'm desperate. I got three bounty hunters on me and I need to ride off this rock. I'll teach you a new trick if you get me out of here.
Ooh.
Hang on, I'm gonna have to swap my headset.
Yeah, no problem.
I've got one that's gonna die on me here shortly.
Oh, that was so good.
I feel like I have the leverage point right now. Like, he knows that I have powers he hasn't seen.
Nice. Here
we go. And he also probably knows I got bounty hunters after me, and he's got a ship. Yeah. Is that good?
Found it. My ear pods are finally starting to not last very long.
Oh no. It's the beginning of the end. As soon as they start fading,
first world problems.
Yeah, yes. So it's a woman's voice that comes back over the comms. And she says, Hope? And it's a question.
Yeah, this is Hope. I thought I was getting Harker. Who's this?
I forget who I said the March Hare was. No, that's her call sign. Im Hare. Yes. Yeah. She says, I'm sorry about that. They got my comms, and I'm still kind of caught. I wish you could have came and helped me.
Wait, hold on. Like, I'm sure like Rook Knight and Bishop are all wondering what the hell. I'm like, hold on. What the hell's happening? Last time I reached out, where are you? Hope's having an existential crisis.
She says, I'm not sure, but it's not Erdos and it's not Jan. I know Harker's involved. He's been stealing or mimicking my comms channel, because he's caught two other pilots and they're in the cells. I can't see them anymore. I talked to one, but they're in the cells like two down from me. So he's been using my comms to lure in other pilots.
Is he near you now?
No, I haven't seen him in days since the raid at Erdos, the flight line.
Okay, and Hope is saying is in front of Rook Knight and Bishop, and she's looking at them like she's looking at them, and I think like she mutes herself, and she's like, I don't trust the Harker, even though he's not answering, isn't listening, and like she unmutes. And she goes, and she sort of goes back to Imhare and says, all right, well, unfortunately, I'm in a pinch and I need Harker bad, but maybe I've got something to offer him that would give him reason to let you go. This is a question to Jay. Is there any way that I could be like tracing where her call is coming from? Like, is there any way that I could be like finding out where his base is by tracing where she's connecting from?
I think that is a programming or zero hack skill. It's program, yeah.
It's programming. Awesome. So I'm gonna basically like, I'm like, all right, let's keep this channel open. I'm gonna try and find out where you are. And I mute her again, and I looked all of them. I'm like, any of you any good at tracing signals? Because I don't know the first thing about it, but we just found Harker's base. Or you know, if you could trace that signal, we just found Harker's base, and that's one that's one fewer place for him to hide if he gets away. And
question:
Hope keeps playing this double-edged sword, or this she's trying to play both sides. Because for Hope, it's like I want to save my friend, but it's also like. But we're going to tell you where his base is so that you can catch him there, et cetera. Sorry, Thomas, what were you saying?
And the device that you have, is that something that you would have had separate? Like, would we have issued it to you when you?
Yeah, totally. This is definitely just my normal communicator pad. It's what I talked to Harker on last time when I reached out.
Okay. So if you guys want it, like I could help by, in a flashback, giving you that pad. I mean, it's got like we're agents of fear. Like we have high tech shit, man.
Yeah.
Like we didn't just give you like a cell phone, right?
Right. Yeah, I think that'd be totally cool. I mean, I'm also, if they have someone who's good at programming, I'm totally, yeah. I mean, I know Dartha is, but I don't know where Dartha is.
No, and maybe it's just a device that can help facilitate that. Like it's the right kind of, you know, unit that can.
Cool, yeah. I think I turn to Knight and I say, F833 model. I think if any of you knows how to use it, you should be able to track that back to, to the source. And she's sort of looking like, anyone? I'm sure one of you three have to be a hacker.
Knight looks back at Rook, who is the largest of the team, and he's like, I just want to shoot stuff, right? Why's it got to be? And he puts his hand out for the phone, for the device.
Nice, yeah, I give him a little glass. I think it's very Expanse, like flat glass pad that, you know, holographic images pop off of. I hand it over to him.
And I think he's got like side bag pouches, utility stuff. And he pulls some wirings and some tools out of there and it plugs them into your device. Nice. Very gearhead like.
Yeah.
And he's nodding, he's looking in there and he's checking it out. I'm gonna come back to that.
Yeah, that's cool. I didn't even think this would be that long. This is kind of like as we're on our way to Bay 8, so.
Right. What are you going, is Dartha making her way to Bay 8 also?
What do you think of Dartha already being on the ship? Or do you think Bay 8 is like a throwdown place?
I'm along for the ride with you guys. I don't know what it is. You can be on the ship already. I'm cool with that. You don't have to pass Hope. I'm just trying to figure out is that our rally point, Bay 8?
I kind of imagine this being one of those moments where you're watching that sci-fi show and then they do like some cool technology and you're like, oh, that'd be cool if we had that technology, right? Like that kind of thing. Like, I think Dartha and crew get on the ship and we're there first for whatever reason. Cause we're like, nice. Well, we don't know where everyone else is yet. Right.
Right.
The actual station is kind of screwed, right? Like their whole, like the central AI is not working, all that kind of stuff. Right. Or VI or whatever. And so I think our ship is high tech enough where we're able to kind of reverse control, like, because we're tapped into the framework of the station, we can possibly use some of its facilities like remotely or, you know, from our ship. And I think like, I just kind of see this thing where we're kind of like scanning the local area. Like we can't get to the rest of the station. I mean, it's screwed, right? But like the local area is still somewhat, you know, useful. And we're just scanning for people. I'm basically trying to scan for these guys. And once we do, like we can do things like close gates and like separate them from other hostiles or whatever we decide to do.
I like it. Right.
But I'm okay if that requires a role because the station's kind of screwed. Like that's what we normally try to do.
Right. I'm good with that. That would be a programming role when we get there. So I think it's good enough to know that that's the position you're taking up.
Yeah.
Hang on.
And it's definitely that moment like where you get to see like everyone kind of showing off a little bit, right? Like Dartha actually walks into the ship and like she's like immediately like programming and stuff. Like she's an engineer, like as well as all the other stuff, you know, she's got like programming background and that's what she used to do in the ship. And you know, like you don't really get that sense from like the earlier, you know, moments.
I like it. I like seeing everyone showing off their stuff.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
I think I'm good. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes. You're a little softer, but it's fine.
All right, cool. Yeah, those are my best conference devices, and I've been on them all day, and I forgot to charge them before tonight.
All good.
So I think... Yeah, so you're on the ship, and it looks like you're providing computer support for whatever's left of the station. Atlas has this murder bot down. You've got the assault rifle. I think you hear, and I think this conversation between you and Prometheus is over this sci-fi Wi-Fi Bluetooth thing channel, right? So I think you hear her say, second asteroid it is then.
That's not what we agreed on. That is not at all what we agreed on, and you know it. I said that I would get myself to you, and I am in the process of doing so. But I was not going to let your little murder drone kill civilians for no reason.
She says you've got 30 minutes to be on a ship that's leaving that station.
Okay, I can do that.
After 30 minutes, I can't stop the asteroid.
Why don't you stop the asteroid now, and then after 30 minutes, you can, like, send it again?
It's now 29 minutes, Atlas.
She does say Atlas,
because that is, yeah, never mind. You didn't, yeah. So they both had code names once they left the vault. You didn't get a code name, so you are using your real name. So she says Atlas.
Like, high key, fuck off and die.
Yes.
But sure, 29 minutes, sick. See you soon.
And then Rook says, yeah, this is down on the planet. It's not in the Yon districts or Erdos. It's kind of remote. It's down on the planet. What is it?
Because I've been keeping the channel open, I kind of unmute and I go, Mara, I think we found you. I think I found you. I need to get away off this rock, but at least I know where you are now. I'll call back once we, can you tell me any, actually, yeah, I might as well ask, can you tell me anything about what the facility that you're in right now?
I don't know. They grabbed me. I thought you were coming to get me, and they were there. It was a trap. I think they're listening to all the comms, and so I didn't see where they took me. But I don't think I left the planet. I think I'm still on Ennis Toll.
Okay. Well, I don't know how kind-hearted Harker is feeling like that, but I'm gonna plead to his, you know, his better nature and hope that he's willing to make some kind of trade and help you get off there. And again, hope is 100% hearing that. Hope is 100% expecting that Harker is, like, listening in on this call.
Yes.
She's not mentioning Rook Knight and Bishop. She's saying that she's, like, at his mercy.
Right.
And then she's like, all right, I gotta go. The station is literally blowing up around me. And if I don't find Harker soon, I'm gonna be blown up with it. I hope to see you soon.
Nice.
And then I hang up and I'm like, I'm sure he was listening to that. And I hope that lures him out. But if not, and I think that's when we get to land in Bay 8, if that's okay. I'm like, if not, that's his ship. He's not going anywhere without that thing.
I wanna get on my comms and update the gang about the, you know, 30 minutes before asteroid 2 situation. Just say, we gotta get on Squidly or a lot of people are gonna die.
I mean, I think that's something that, like, now you hear Dartha respond back on the comms. And, like, if the programming stuff all works, it's just like lights showing you where to go. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Like
right.
We can even close down doors to prevent obstacles or other individuals that shouldn't be, you know, like interfere, that kind of stuff, right?
Do I know that Dartha is already aboard Squidly?
Maybe you do now.
Okay, then I'm just gonna go to Squidly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Me
okay.
and my big ass assault weapon are getting on this spaceship.
And you're with Timothy and Clack, right? Right, Tomes?
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, and no I think, Raven. And right. Raven hasn't been seen. No Dr. Long has been seen. I think Clack is attending Timothy and his wounds with whatever med station stuff we have on Squidly.
Can I point out that Clack is missing two arms and is still able to carry out that mission?
Okay, Clack has like six arms to start with.
Fair.
He goes. I think Rook says, man, if this is Harker's base, we could head down there right now. I think we're good.
So let me know if you want me to drop a door between you and them. Like, yeah. If you want to escape, you can, but I don't know if you want to go down to that planet, so.
Well, I kind of do, because I want to rescue my friends, but like.
We could also go down to that planet in our own ship.
Yeah, exactly. And I sort of look, I look back to them and I go, yeah, but he's got to be on this station. You want to go try to intercept him in his base? I mean, that's where he's likely to go once he gets off of here. I agree.
I think they do that thing again where the three of them are having a conversation that excludes you and they're strategizing. You're still standing there, right? And they're building out a plan based on, and it's what you're saying, right? That they expect that no matter what happens, he's probably going back to that base, right? He's got a lot of stuff there. He's got ties there. Eventually he's going to show up. And that's a good spot for them to grab him or grab whatever he's got there, right? So I think Knight then takes... actually, it's Bishop. He's got a pack. And in his pack, he reaches back there, and it's some parts, and they came from Squidly. And he's like, hey, you're going to need these. And he tosses them over to you. Like, if it was a car, it'd be the carburetor, right?
Right, here you go. Right.
Oh, and here's some spark plugs. You're going to need those.
Yeah, exactly.
So he tosses some parts over to you, and Knight says, I think we're good. We catch him. We're square. I think we're square anyway. Because we're going to get something out of his base.
Right. Well, on his base is a friend of mine, and I don't think she's got any bounties on her head. So if I can't make it down there myself, I'd awfully appreciate it if you could just happen to unlock that cell on your way through looting his station.
And Rook says, hey, we're not slavers, right? We're going to cut everybody loose. We're not in that kind of business.
Thanks, Rook. Apparently Harker is. All the better reason for you to get your hands on him. And I think, like, kind of surprisingly, she wasn't really sure she'd say this, but maybe what Rook said just sort of like changed her mind. She like reaches into her pocket and she's like, he learned to teleport from me. You're gonna need these. And she slaps the bracelets back in Knight's hands.
Right. I think Knight rolls her eyes like, oh, are you fucking kidding me? Really? He's a teleporter now? Right? she doesn't say it, but it's on her face, right?
Exactly.
And she says, thank you. Thank you for that information. That helps a lot. I think they head out, right? I think they head back to their ship in this chaos, and they're going to head down to the planet with what they have to try to capture Harker.
Yeah. I hold all these like parts, I hold all these parts and I'm running. I'm like, I'm coming. Don't fire up the spark drive just yet. Yeah. And I start running There's that. I feel like there's the, I feel like there's that, base is under attack. We've seen it in Battlestar Galactica. We've seen it in Star Wars. We're just like, chaos is happening and like half space doors are opening and people are running to their ships, I'm sure, to get off of this thing because it's been hit by an asteroid. So I'm dodging through people to try and get to
safely.
Nice. That's fantastic. And that message comes through just at the right time because Clack's about to like turn on whatever that is and our ship would have exploded, right? It's like, wait, what? Oh,
Nice.
They pulled the transfusers. This thing's gonna overheat. The thing will overload if we fire it up. Yeah.
I think Terracon Station is fine, but it can't take another hit from an asteroid.
Okay.
I think that will destroy it, and it will go down to the planet in pieces. Folks are making it off. I think that another hit makes it, like the Titanic. So
exactly.
What's the plan? You're back. Everyone's back on the ship on Squiddly. You have the parts. Mm-hmm. What's the plan? What's the game plan? What are we doing?
How much does Atlas fill us in? Because I don't think we know the cause of the 30-minute timer right now.
I think I would tell you that Prometheus is on the vault, needs me to get to the vault, and will continue to send asteroids at the station until I have committed that I am traveling to the vault. She gave me 30 minutes to get off the station before the next asteroid comes.
I think Hope is like under the cockpit, like putting tools, you know, reinserting the pieces that have been pulled, and she's calling, and she like pulls herself out, like, you know, like a mechanic underneath the car, and she's like, wow, your sister is really determined. She's got like a big big hate on for all of humanity, it feels like. Can you break her control of the of Nuna, which is the station AI that's like,
I can certainly try.
Yes, you can.
Her program role?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, because my reasoning is that if Nuna is back online, not only is that good for the general overall function of the station, but also you can tell her, like, there's an asteroid that's 30 minutes away, or the trajectory of an asteroid is 30 minutes away, scan for it, you know, so that, you know, the thrusters can fire and try and get out of the path just in case Prometheus decides to do it anyway, right? You know?
Right.
What's the target of this roll?
It is a 10.
Let's see if my luck holds.
Yeah. Because Dartha is also a programmer, right? Dartha,
do you want to Dartha?
I can totally help with that.
Yeah,
You're all there. We got the controls.
Yeah, I would totally ask for help.
I'm going to do that.
For sure not. Hope is a grease monkey, but...
Just run program. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Prometheus is a little bit good at this.
Yeah, no doubt she is.
Prometheus is good at a lot of things that I don't want her to be good at.
She's been out here for a while.
Yeah, she's got 600 years of practice.
Off on you. But you got some she doesn't.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, I'm not the best programmer.
All right. I'm gonna...
Programming is usually an intelligence skill in my... I think a little differently than humans, so our programming's kind of not what your programming is. I rolled an 8.
Legit.
Okay, let's see. Oh, I rolled even worse. I rolled a 7.
Yeah.
I cannot bring back the station VI.
Hold on a second. I wanna interrupt for a moment. I think what does it look like when Atlas is programming? Are you like direct hardwired in, or are you like typing on keys, or what's the physical activity that you're taking?
I think that I'm trying to figure out how to effectively work, because I have a very clear mental image. I think that with the tablet that I have, that tablet would connect to the station by like space Bluetooth or whatever, mm-hmm. but then I would wire myself to the tablet.
Cool.
Okay. Using like the jack in my ear. Nice. And I would effectively think the code that I'm trying to transmit, and the tablet would like transmit it to the station like directly.
So Hope is watching. She like pulls up from like getting up. She pulls up from like putting in the last part, and she's watching you do this. And like the tablet, because this is how it conveys on TV that something didn't work, like flashes red, right? And Hope winces and like shakes her head. And we like rewind again, and like it's showing you trying again, and I'm just like, try an old algorithm, one that hasn't been used in a while. Okay. And I'm going to commit effort to use my ability to let you reroll that.
Oh my god, the power of friendship.
Alternate reality. Alternate outcome. Let's see if you can.
I would just like to say that Atlas loves having friends.
I love what you folks decide to spend effort on. That's fantastic.
Yeah, well, it's important to hope the Tarkon station doesn't blow up.
Right.
So she has a reason for it, but yeah.
I like it.
Can I get the roll?
Yeah, it doesn't give you any bonus. You just get a reroll. So
all right, let's see what happens.
Yep.
No.
Oh, so close. All right.
Oh God, that's so stressful. Okay. Well,
I think what happens is you get enough of the VI online that she's able to help folks get to safety pods and places where they can get off the station or hunker down in safer parts of the station, but not enough to warn it or help it redirect out of the path of the asteroid.
Okay. Right. So, well, then hopefully Prometheus is just not being a jerk. And when I, you know, inform her that I have left the station, she stops playing like asteroid billiards.
Nice. Are we taking off? We leaving the station?
Yes.
Think so, yeah.
Nice.
And I'd like to tell Prometheus we are leaving right now. Stop the asteroid.
I have a metagame quite like I'm gonna step back just a tiny second. We've been doing stuff, we've been undocking, whatnot. At some point, Hope kind of looks around at Dartha, sees Timothy, and she's like, "Where's Raven and Dr. Long?" She's definitely asking Dartha directly, like,
right.
She assumes it's your responsibility or your call, rather, whether or not we're going with that.
I think I just answer, we're not going to need Raven or Dr. Long.
That did not answer the question Hope was hoping you'd ask. That did not answer what Hope was hoping to find out at all. She's like, I mean, are they okay?
So, good question. Do I know if they're okay?
Like, yeah, no idea, right? I mean, no one's seen.
I think I just fess up. I'm just like, you know, unfortunately, we lost communication, blah, 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 blah. But like, you know, we're not sure if they're okay, but they have a lot of resources at their disposal. And I would have serious doubts that they are not in at least a good situation as we are. And I say at least as good situation. And there's like, there's problems, right?
Right.
Yeah. Like, there's errors going off.
Yeah, we're alive, right? Yeah, there's all sorts of klaxons going off, you know, because of the hit. Can they be reached on comms?
And by the way, I like the idea that this is serious enough where it's not just like some klaxons and the ship is under duress. Mm-hmm. Like Timothy is on a life support system right now. Yeah. Once we got onto the ship, and it actually drops and has to administer stuff to him. Like he's on the edge of, like, if he wasn't in that booth, he'd be dying.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know.
And he was delirious though, from the time Clack was bringing him in. Got him into the med bay. No, you can't raise them on comms. There's no signal back. There's no return signal.
So first of all, when you guys first come in the ship, this is really important. Dartha immediately like gets off of her console and comes over and gives you a hug.
Aww.
Like that happens.
That's important. Yeah.
That's important. But then we need to take off. And I actually am. At first, I'm looking over at you, Atlas, and I'm like, oh, so I guess we're going. But then I kind of stop and look back at you, Hope, and I'm like, oh, where are we going? And you've just realized I've given you the authority, by the way, of deciding where we're going. I'm not telling you where to go.
Nice. Yeah, I think her first instinct is like holding the parts is like nothing without these, right? Or nowhere without these. But, you know, she kind of like fights that back down. And it's really, that's a tough question to ask Hope right now, because what she really wants to do is go down to the planet and get Emhair, her friend, who's another hopper, out of whatever encampment she's imprisoned in. But like, the fate of the entire station, everybody on it, is based on us doing what Prometheus asks. So she's like, she looks to Atlas and she's like, I don't think Prometheus is bluffing. Do you think she is?
Absolutely the fuck not. She is not bluffing.
All right, then we're going back to the vault.
There is a moment where I do reach out and put my, like one of my pseudopods on your shoulder. Like, I understand, like, I'm feeling some of your feelings. So, yeah, like, totally. I get that this is a very tough decision you've just made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I think at that moment we were right about to leave, you know, so we're cutting back forward to right as we're like getting out of the landing bay, and
right.
Hope can't pull up Raven or Dr. Long. And she's like, Dartha, I sure hope you're right. The last thing I want to do is, she just says, I sure hope you're right. And then I think we're like cut to exterior shot of Tarakon Station, spitting out of regular orb, like yeah, spitting diagonally out of orbit.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. It's all jacked up.
Squidly being out of it.
Yeah, I think we see Squidly vector out like it normally does toward the black hole. We see the Queen's Pawn ship, right, spiral out the other way because it's heading down to to the planet, right? I think once you're out in space, Prometheus contacts Atlas. Only Atlas can hear. Mm-hmm. And she says, great. I see you brought hostages. I love it.
I don't even know how to respond to that, so I'm not going to respond. Because I feel like Prometheus keeps just being predictably asshole-ish.
She's just a jerk.
We could have like a really cute family moment if you wanted. Like, I don't know. Alice is so soft. Like,
so I love that this, like, Prometheus is talking to you.
Right.
But I think I butt in as if like, actually I have a question. And like, I wasn't outranking you guys before. It was like, where do you want to go? You tell me where we're going, right?
Yeah.
But this is where I step forward.
Butt into this combo though, because it's just happening in Alice's head.
Oh, got it. No, I wasn't sure if, okay. It is happening in your head. That's something I can do.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Right, when you said that, that's what I was thinking, yeah.
Oh, love it. I love it. Well, cool. So then I don't want to respect
the privacy of my thoughts, which I mean, I'm sure like for homies, I don't think I would be too pressed about it, but
I'm open to however you want it to go. I didn't even think about that until Sean said, I forgot that it was a mental conversation.
I mean, I don't have to consent to you being in my head. So if you want to just like do it and we see what happens, we can just role play that.
Yeah. I just assumed that's what you were doing.
Totally. Yeah, me too.
You were using your ability to do that.
Yeah.
That's exactly great. What I was doing, guys.
Yeah, I just wanted to highlight it. Show how awesome you
are. But I just kind of butt in and I'm like, I'm sorry to interrupt, but if we want to talk to Draco, run us through that process. Like, it's kind of very logic driven. like, oh, we see a lot of stuff going on here. And you're like, yeah, I need this, you know, I need Atlas to come and do this thing. The key, he's the key. But it's like, okay, run us through it. We need to know logistically what's going on here.
I'm gonna like, if Prometheus can't hear that directly, I'm gonna relay it to her and be like, you know, we've got some time on the way to the vault. It's a decently lengthy trip, so while I'm headed there, the least you can do is fill me in on what exactly it is that you need me to do. I've said that I'll do it, I'm on my way, but I think I deserve to be filled in on what it is that you're asking.
She said absolutely.
Very importantly, part of the I think I've talked to you about this, it's not that just that we want to know what the process is, it's also when are we able to talk to Draco. And what functional state will Draco be in? How do we go through part of that process and have a discussion prior to Draco having all the ability in the whatever universe, right? Universe. Like technically, how does this look? Can we like partially boot him in safe mode? Like that kind of thing. Right?
Atlas, you know, Prometheus can hear Dartha. She chooses to ignore Dartha, right?
Okay.
Because Dartha's a biological life form and she's like, whatever, right? But she says to Atlas, no, you're right. You deserve to have some instructions and some idea of what's going on. One, here are the coordinates you're going to park the ship at in this bay. And she gives you exactly where on the station she wants you to be. And she says, and then you'll meet me at this lab. And then she terminates the connection.
That was not helpful.
Oh, we got time to talk about this. We got 3 days before you get here.
Just three days of rising anxiety, or like exponentially rising anxiety, because like none of us know what's about to go down. But yeah, sure, I give hope the coordinates. And
is it one of the labs? Is it Science Cryo or Science Alpha or Engineering that she's sending us to?
It's Engineering.
Cool. That's where we met Harker, I think. No, we met Harker on the bridge.
You met Harker on the bridge, yes.
Right. But it's not the Draco's wards, which are a whole other thing. So,
right.
You know, that's something. That's something. Yeah, I'm here for it. Cool. So then we just have time amongst ourselves, right? You know?
Yes.
And
it's 3 days to get there.
Yeah. I think Hope's just, you know, about to engage the spike drive, and she sort of looks at you and she's like, you know, if you don't want to, like, I don't know how well Prometheus can track us or track you. I don't know if she'll know if we don't go, but if you don't want to go in there, we don't have to.
She's going to keep killing people if we don't.
She seems to realize that's something you care about and that she doesn't. So it's right. Like stomping on ants for her. And
like, I'm sure eventually she'll get bored of killing people, but I don't know if she'll get bored of killing people before I feel the moral imperative to do something about it, seeing as I already feel morally obligated to stop this. And it's only been one asteroid at one space station.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There's an awkward moment where Dartha puts her pseudopods on both of your hands. Cause like, she's like, that's why I feel so close to you two. Like seriously, like Hope is just like, we don't have to do this if you don't need to, but like, we kind of have to do it, right? But like, you know what, you still have a decision to make here.
Yeah.
Right, and then Atlas is just like, no, we gotta save the world.
How is Timothy doing?
Timothy is, I think if he's in medical care and Clack is looking over him, he's unconscious at this point, right? He's delirious before.
Yeah.
He had some internal wounds, like he had been stabbed or shot, right? Clack is kind of attending his own bandages on his limbs that were severed. But Timothy is out. He'll probably be up in a day or two, but he won't be 100%, right? He'll be physically recovering, but he'll be conscious in about a day using the tech that's on the ship.
Alien physiology question.
Yes.
Can Clack regrow those limbs?
Yes, he can.
I'm not worried.
I'm not worried.
We're all gonna be fine.
It doesn't mean it hurts less, but he can. He can regrow them.
No, but it's not like this is gonna be a permanent issue for him.
Right, right.
I was like, wow, this poor alien giant cricket lost two limbs. No, I'm not worried.
So I think Hope is right. I think that for Prometheus, stepping on ants, if it bugs you, she's going to step on the ants. It's not that she hates humanity or biological things. I think she's indifferent, and that's why she can step on them, because it gets you to do what she wants you to do.
Yeah.
She knows, right? I care too much.
Right.
And I'm not going to stop caring, so. Alice is soft.
I think you also know that the tracking is kind of locally. While you're traveling, she can't. So at worst, just doing the math, she knows you're going to arrive at the station within 3 days. If she gives you some time, right, you have 3 days plus some hours before she realizes you're not coming, right?
Right, which I don't think it'd be very smart to try any kind of like gambit here, because we're already en route, and I just feel like she's just going to keep killing people.
That's right. She would come back and she would just keep killing people.
There's nothing that we can do to stop her short of, I feel like at this point we've run out of options, but to meet her demands.
I think so too. Yeah, like, I agree.
Logicking my way through it, I think that we just have to, you know, just have to do it and see what happens.
I'd love to have a scene with Atlas.
Okay.
If we, yeah, and I don't want to interrupt this one in case you guys want.
No, I was going to say, let's do that, and then we could probably take a break. Yeah,
that sounds great.
I think it's one of those, like, I mean, okay, we have got 3 days now, right? So there's a little bit of like the downtime kind of stuff going on. And I think there's just a moment where I come up to you, Atlas, and I'm just like, you know, what do you remember about before?
Ooh, that's a good question. What do I remember about before? The world is very different. I had a kind of regular job. I remember having most of the same values and perspective.
And I kind of interrupt and I'm just like, what do you remember about Draco? And do you want help remembering?
Ooh. I do, because I okay.
So yes, I don't know if my kind of like psychic powers can help in any way with that. And I kind of don't think they can, but I think it's definitely something that I'd like to try. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. Even if there's no role and it's just like, no, you can't do that, because that's not part of power.
You built the perfect character to do exactly this.
Exactly. Yes. Tom's.
I feel like between it. Having program and having the specific, the very rare and specific telepathic and metasonic abilities to talk, to communicate with AI, like, who better could possibly do this?
This is how I metagame, folks.
Yes.
I also feel like I trust you enough that I'd be like, plug the tablet into my ear, give you the tablet, be like, look through my file directory if you really want.
I want to point out what a great callback that is.
Yeah.
In the very first episode, or the second episode rather, when we first got in for like the medical checkup,
right,
they tried to like stick like a tablet in your ear, but they didn't have TL5 tech that could do it. But it was also this very like invasive, like probing kind of, you need to be examined. And they kind of just like put you in the med lab and like poked at you. And we had that sort of tender moment of sitting in the waiting room after we'd both been like poked and prodded. And so I think that like the difference between somebody like forcing and doing that versus you being like, here you go.
Right.
I'll let my friend do it. It's just a beautiful, mirroring, you know, a juxtaposition of that initial sort of invasive activity.
Nice. I like it. I think because you have the meta sonic ability to communicate with Atlas and programming, I think it's just a programming check. I think this is something you can do. So here's what we're going to do before you roll. Your target is 12.
Can I help?
Yes, you can. Cool. Yes, you can. I think no matter what, we're going to learn something.
Okay. I will say I'm not a very skilled programmer. I have a +0 in this stat, but it's worth trying. I'm going to roll.
Yeah, but you've got it. It's based on something you're good at.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I rolled a 6. That did not do much.
All right, so I want to make an argument before you roll, Tomes, that normally a program is rolled with intelligence, but the two primary stats for psychic abilities are wisdom and constitution. And I do think that there is a very good case for the fact that you're not truly programming in the coding sense as much as you're tapping into your psychic abilities, which to me makes me think you have a call for saying, I'm going to roll program plus wisdom rather than program plus intelligence.
Plus intelligence, yes.
Just want to say, that is metagaming, but it's also, I think, true to the character and true to the fiction.
Hey, no, I think metagaming has some kind of like bad connotation sometimes, but no, let me tell you, when this is metagaming, I am 100% not metagaming.
No, I think that is tighter than intelligence because we're not coding. I think it is more intuitive, more, and your connection is psychic, so I buy that, yeah.
Right. And it's totally the difference between like hacking the station, which totally was, versus
yeah, there's some intuition going on here. Like, this is not like hacking a computer. This is talking to an AI. When you talk to another person, you're using wisdom, right? Like that's kind of like a function of that.
Absolutely.
I accidentally put plus one modifier. So I'm going to roll something that doesn't give me the plus one from the wisdom, but gives me a plus zero. It's math. It all works. Right, guys?
Sure. I'll take it.
Whoa. Look at that.
Didn't even need it. We were. Oh, no, you did need it. Because
they did need it.
Oh,
yeah.
Goodness.
Did
need
it. Yes.
I was like, oh, you didn't even need the. For some reason, I thought it was like 8 or 10.
Yeah, no, he did need it.
Nice.
I'm going to start talking. Fill in what makes sense for you, especially you, Atlas. So I think there's kind of a flashback, and I think in it is implied we're all aware of this knowledge as you have that tablet. Atlas is there. So I think the knowledge is shared. But I think we see a younger Horatio Long, maybe 5 to 10 years younger, right? Maybe there's a series of scenes where he's working with Atlas, right? And they're just doing mundane things, right? And then there's one scene where he looks kind of harried. Most of the time where he's kind of clean shaven and doctorish, right? Here he's kind of haggard looking, like he hasn't slept in days. He's all scruffy. The room's kind of backlit, maybe a little bit dark. He's fooling around over something. And as the camera pulls back, we can see it's Atlas, and he's kind of got Atlas opened up a little bit. And he's like, yeah. And he's talking in that kind of crazy mad scientist kind of way. And he's like, yeah, this is it. This is it right here. So I'm gonna put it into this, right? I got your number, Draco, right? They're not smart enough to shut you down, but you and I, Draco, we are never fighting like this ever again. This is it, right? And he takes some stuff, he puts some code in, and he puts some other parts in the Atlas, and he closes it up, and he's looking around to make sure nothing else is around. And then he kind of reboots a sequence in Atlas and then covers Atlas up, right, like with a tarp. And then you see kind of like these soldiers kind of come in. They're kind of in that stormtrooper-like armor, and they're barking legal arrest kind of things, and they grab him up, right? And he goes, he's fine, right? And he's kind of got this peaceful look on his face at that point, right?
So he used me to somehow put an end to his conflict with Draco, which makes me think that I am not capable of what Prometheus thinks I'm capable of doing. So
what I would say, because you made that role, is that you are the piece that's keeping them from downloading Draco.
Okay.
Right? Once she has you and gets you to upload that stuff that Dr. Long has put into you back into the prison where they're keeping Draco at, you pretty much are the key that he can be downloaded back into a shard right now. And all his information is stuck in a black hole, just stuck out there. But now they'll be able to download him, and he's off and back in the world again.
Sick. I also do love that there was that moment where he puts the tarp on Atlas. And is that the exact position that we found?
Yes. Atlas, like, yes. Yeah, I think when you found him, the tarp was kind of around, and he was coming up and looking around, right? Yeah, I think that's it.
Crazy sauce! Oh my god!
Oh my god! That was right before you went to bed. They hit the.
And then I was asleep for 600 years.
You had a nap.
That's right, Rip Van Winkle.
I wish I could sleep for 600 years in my real life. I'm so tired.
I feel it. That is so good. I think we want to go to break just as the spike drive is engaging, but I have a tiny little thing I want to do. Is it okay if I squeeze something in? I don't want to steal the thunder of that scene.
No, we're good.
Okay. Jay, can I ask you a favor as my GM? Could Clack, because I have had this little blurb written since like the second episode and I wanted to say it, but I haven't had a chance to do it. And it's a little monologue-y and a little self-indulgent, but since the last episode, I want to say it.
Yeah.
Do you think Clack could have some curiosity and perhaps ask Hope what we're about to do? Because I don't think Clack has come with us. I don't think he has. He's gone into the vault before.
No, he hasn't.
And so, do you think maybe he might ask about what's going to be involved with engaging the spike drive or anything like that? Just so I can, I don't know, vainly do some exposition.
He most certainly. So I think, yeah, I think like certainly after the first day, right? He's got Timothy stable. He's got his wounds kind of packaged up. He's overhearing these conversations, right? He's along for the ride, but you guys aren't going down to the planet. And he finally gets some courage up, right? And he asks, where are we going? What are we doing? What's happening?"
And I think Hope like pulls out from inside the thing because she's pseudo on autopilot. Also, it's notable that most of the time, flying in spike dive space is like doesn't feel like there's any motion at all. It feels totally smooth. And flying into the well is super bump, like
right,
getting
right.
slammed all the time. Like it's okay, but it definitely feels like we're like under attack constantly. And eventually, you kind of get used to it. But and she pulls out like the six injector ports that are in her head, and because we've reached a little space where we can go on a straight trajectory for a little while. And she says, the plight of a spike drive pilot. She kind of like holds up her hand. She's like, navigating the shifting bodies of gravity wells is like trying to throw a dart through a series of hoops that are all spinning on perpendicular axes in a single throw. Analytic solutions, simple equations are impossible. There's no straight lines. You need to rely on relativistic momentum to curve the path. Now, metadimensional spike drive exploration requires n-body simulations that segment space-time to micro-orbital systems. Instead, we use periodic solutions that covering infinite solutions to estimate the most likely position of gravity wells. The actual calculations are something on the order of 10 to the power of 8 billion, but because we short-circuit this by using these rudders or adaptive course records based on past flight trajectories, the Eirdos and Jan program gave me a sort of intuitive sense of how those rudders are moving in this giant model. And so it's kind of like we're driving down the road by bouncing off all the bumps along the edge to know where the road goes. That's why we keep hitting those all the time. In short, we're going into a black hole. In fact, we're already in it, Clack.
Nice.
Sorry, that was my long exposition thing that I had written a long time ago, and now I have said it.
That's what makes this a sci-fi show. Like yes. the nerds were watching, all the astrology nerds, and they're like, "That sounds dope." All right.
Yeah. Oh, it's very pseudosciencey, but I spent some time trying to assemble that.
Nice.
And with that, I think I plug back in and I go, "Yeah, I gotta go prepare for the next grav blade. Probably striking us in 3, 2, poof, you know."
Nice. I think Clack is nervous, right? But he's easily made nervous, right?
Yeah.
I think he's nervous, and he goes back to check on Timothy because he knows what that's about.
Nice. Awesome. Thank you for that bit of indulgence there, and thank you, chat, as well, for hanging out as I said all this.
Wait. Just before we go to break, there's a moment where Timothy gets nervous. I've been trying to get you guys closer. Sorry, not Timothy. Clack. Clack gets nervous. I've been trying to get you guys closer to Clack for a long time.
Yeah.
Is there anything there where there is like, do you know what I mean? Like, do you know that Clack is nervous, or is it like whatever?
Oh no, I love it. I think I'm gonna pull a Hope. Or not a Hope. I'm gonna pull a Dartha. As like I'm plugging the nodes back in and I'm counting it down, I go, you know, we're gonna get hit in 3, 2, and I reach out and I grab Clack on one of his uninjured appendages. And I just sort of put my hand on him to brace him.
Like, nice.
We're gonna hit 3, 2, wham, and I hold onto him, and then I let him go once we've gotten braced. But it's very much a Dartha move. Hope was never so touchy before she met Dartha. And so this is like, you know, holding on to him to brace them just a little bit. So yes. Thank you.
That's awesome.
That is great, Tomes. I love it.
I love that Dartha just puts her pseudopods on people. Like, we can take a moment to appreciate just Dartha, like, growing a pseudopod and gently resting it on someone.
Right.
That's just so sweet.
It's a very Dartha move. All right, friends, we'll be back in a few minutes, and we'll find out what we see on the other side of this black hole.
Can I say how excited I was to teleport behind somebody and grab the psychic dampening cuffs on their belt before they get a hold of them. I mean, when you talk about characters being able to do cool stuff, that's some cool stuff. And then Prometheus jumping that murder drone and just dismantling it with his bare hands, and Dartha finding the flashback to learn the history of Horatio Long and to learn that creating AIs hasn't been so much a problem as much as it was creating your second AI. What's the response? I think that's a little bit of foreshadowing for the last part on the finale, which is coming up next.